The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by BetSGPN. BetSGPN is where you'll find all the best sportsbook promotions and deposit bonuses. Just head over to BetSGPN.com. BetSGPN is your home for online sports betting. We're also brought to you by BetQL. BetQL is your home for the info you need to make yourself a smarter, better. NBA, college basketball, and the NHL, they got you covered. Just go to BetQL.com, promo code SGP30. That's BetQL.com, promo code SGP30 for 30% off. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is the home for avid sports bettors providing insights, analysis, and free betting picks. Better Than Vegas, it's like YouTube for sports betting. Make sure to subscribe to our page so you never miss a pick. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. And finally, we're brought to you by Better Edge. Better Edge is your home for no vig betting. That's right, no vig betting. That's legal in 40 states. Sign up at BetterEdge.com, promo code SGP, for a free $10 bet. That's BETTOR Edge.com, promo code SGP. Welcome, everybody, to the NBA Gambling Podcast. I'm today's host, Ryan Rich Fat Baby McKee. I'm the original NBA Gambling Podcast host. We've had, but I had to give up that title because I'm over at the Action Network now, but I can guest host once a week for SGPN, which I'm happy to do. The other guys, Zach Broner, Munaf Manji, and Dan Titus have been doing a great job. This being their first week, me being my first week over at the Action Network. And today, since there are no games to talk about, which is sad, I feel like there's already a loss in my life with no games to bet tonight. We're going to be talking about All-Star Weekend, which is exciting, always fun thing to bet. It's let's be honest, it's more fun to bet on the All-Star game than to watch it. It's most fun to bet on the events, I think. So we're going to talk about all of those, and then we're going to get into the game itself. Hey, Jong, thanks for joining. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Oh, good, good. Just as I already mentioned, I'm sitting on Top Shop for this drop, too. Are you a Top Shop guy yet?
Yeah, definitely. I'm like 86,000 in line, so I'm outside the supposed gestational period, so to speak. You know what I mean? 20,000 outside the window. Oh, I think it's only like 61, and I'm at 86,000. So.
Oh no! Well, it says I have like 171 ahead of me, so I got a good number, I guess. This is my first one doing it. Anyway, so we are going to talk about the 3-point contest first. I think what's key here is finding guys that have a quick release and be able to hit a hot streak, which is, I really like Devin Booker here at plus 500. I really like Zach LaVine at plus 250. Curry is the favorite at plus 190. Donovan Mitchell at plus 350. And then Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both at plus 750. I was reading that a lot of people look at the catch and shoot 3-point percentage for this, but it's not necessarily, when you think about it, it's not really like a catch and shoot. It's more like a handoff 3-pointer. And apparently LaVine is insane on handoff 3-pointers this season, shooting like 49% or something like that from 3-point range. He's hitting his career high overall from 3-point at 43.4%, his catch and shooter at 48%. So I know LaVine was in the contest last year, and he's high to do it this year, and he's not doing the dunk contest, so this is all he's focused on, this in the game. John, do you have an opinion on the 3-point contest odds?
Yeah, absolutely. The only two players for me would be Zach LaVine and Devin Booker. Absolutely, only two, because Zach LaVine, you know, he has that slam dunk award already under his belt, right? And yep. So he wants to be kind of like the rare, you know, slam dunk contest and three point winner. So I think he's really a good, you know, pick to kind of win it, you know, win the 3-point contest. But I really like Devin Booker. The value at plus 500, He won it in 2018, lost by one in 2019 before the final round. And I forget what he did in 2020. I think he barely missed it too. And so I think he's ready to kind of take that back and give me Devin Booker plus 500, quarter units for each. So those two are my plays for sure.
Yeah, I like those plays, definitely. I don't understand why Booker is at plus 500. He feels more like a favorite to me. I don't understand why he has that much worse odds than Curry, other than Curry is a much more public player, and when anybody thinks of three-pointers, they think of Curry first, and no doubt that he'll be great. He has the most three-point attempts so far this season. He's the only player in the league to break 400 in attempts right now. He's shooting 41% overall. It's just like, I don't think the value is there at plus 190. Another thing I wanted to mention is there hasn't been a repeat winner of the three-point contest since 2008 when Jason Capuano did it. But there has never been a repeat winner that didn't do it in consecutive years. So if Curry or Booker wins, that'll be a first time. So that's, I don't know how interesting that is, but it is. The worst player, I don't think anybody should put money on Jason Tatum. He's got the worst three-point percentage of anybody in the contest. Even Jalen Brown, who has similar odds, he's at 43%. Tatum's at 36%. At least on the catch and shoot three-pointers that I'm looking at right now. Oh, Bobby just mentioned in the chat, Blake Griffin just got bought out. I wonder where he's going. John, any opinions on where Blake Griffin is going to be going?
Could he possibly come back to L.A., the Clippers?
Ooh, that's interesting. I haven't even thought of that. Do they have the cap space to absorb?
Oh, I'm just thinking off the top here,
Yeah.
So.
I can't remember the odds. I think of where he was a favorite to go. I'm blanking now, but we talked about it on a previous podcast. But we have to definitely pay attention to that because he could be interesting on the right team. He's not obviously the star that he used to be, but Blake Griffin. That'd be interesting to see where he goes.
Fred VanVleet's like the number one, right, in terms of like before the trade or not the trade deadline, but to get moved, because I don't know.
Fred VanVleet is or Kyle Lowry?
Kyle Lowry, my bad.
I was going to say, they're super high on Fred VanVleet in Toronto. I don't think they want to get rid of him.
Kyle Lowry
is supposed to get moved, so we'll see. I kind of like him going to, a bunch of different teams. He could look good on Miami. He could look good on Philadelphia. I definitely think he's going to go to a contender. If he does move, but I know a lot of Raptors fans will be sad, but I've also had Raptors fans point out that they end up winning a lot of games when Kyle Lowry is out. Not that he's not that they're better without him, but it's something that they can make up for. So let's get back to All-Star Week, and that's what we're talking about. If anybody else wants to join in the conversation, if you have an opinion on the three-point contest odds or best bets or anything we can jump around you want to talk about, all good. The last thing, I've said everything I have written down about the three-point contest. Really like Booker, but I am a bit of a homer, so take that in consideration. But also, like LaVine, just think that his value isn't as much as Booker is there. Let's move on to Terrell, what do you got?
Quick question. How many times has Steph won already?
He's won once.
Once?
Yeah, he won in 2015.
So that's 6 years ago. And Steph's been in it a number of times since then. I don't know. Maybe we're thinking too hard about this. Like, I feel like Steph is the type of guy where it's like he wants multiple. Like, he keeps doing it. He keeps doing it for a reason. Like, granted, yes, he's like the face. And so, of course, they always want it. But he can easily decline this. I think he wants multiple. So I wouldn't put it past Steph to be like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and win this thing, guys.
Yeah. You're going to put any money on it at plus 190, though?
Yeah, that's the only thing that it just doesn't seem worth it. But, winning something is better than winning nothing. So,
yeah, I hear you. I might throw a little bit of money on it. You're right, to just like cover my ass, but I'm definitely going to put more on Levine and Booker. Okay, let's move on to the skills challenge. We've got Luka at plus 200, Chris Paul at plus 225, Sabonis at plus 400, Robert Covington at plus 500, Vucevic at plus 650, and Julius Randle at plus 800. You know, immediately
that was so disrespectful.
Yeah. Terrell, you're the Knicks fan. Let's start with you. What kind of odds you like here?
What? Come on. You don't even have to ask me. Julius Randle, what did you say? What book are you looking at?
I have it at plus 800. What do you got?
Oh, no. I see it at plus 600. I see Sabonis and Covington at plus 750. Why? That is so disrespectful that Julius Randle has worse odds than anybody that's not named Chris Paul and Luka. Absolutely yeah. Disrespectful. I'm smashing Julius Randle. Call me a homer. Call me whatever you is. He's a Knicks all-star. We don't get all-stars to do these things often. I'm all over Julius Randle this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Do you like him? I mean, we'll get to this, but any thoughts on his all-star game MVP odds? I think he's at 50-1.
50-1? I think that's enough for me to put a little something on it, but I think that where he has the opportunity is because he's not somebody that, like, especially in clutch time, is not going to be a lot of attention drawn towards Julius Randle. Like, so he'll have the opportunity to do more. Like, I feel like they still don't have a grasp on his skill set because this is like his breakout season. Like, we've always known he was a good player, but he's really put it together in all aspects of the game this season. And I feel like that he's like a question mark. So I think the question mark is with him and Zion. Mm-hmm. And I think those two players are two that have the opportunity. They're going to get the looks. And people just don't exactly know how they're going to stop those two yet. And so they have the best odds to just put up a bunch of points. Julius Randle, because he can do it on all levels. He can pass the ball. He can rebound. So Julius Randle is on triple-double watch, actually, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially he's on Team KD, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so Team Braun, and I was telling people this last night, Team Braun has a whole bunch of people that can pass the ball. He has a lot of good passes on his team. That's all Team Braun is going to do. They're going to pass. But Julius Randle, you could arguably say that he's one of the best passers on that Team KD team, outside of James Harden and maybe a couple other guys. So I don't know. I think that I could make a – and you call me a homer, but I can make a strong case that Julius Randle can mess around, flirt with the near triple-double, and put up enough where they'd be like, fuck it, let's give it to him. The first Knick in a while to be in an all-star game, like, show love.
Yeah, absolutely. Daniel just wrote in that KD went out and got young guys that will play hard. I agree, and we'll definitely talk more about the All-Star Game odds and MVP. Just was jumping around a bit. Let's finish up with the skills competition. I have no idea why they put Robert Covington in this competition. That guy can't even dribble. He must have lost a bet or something like that to join this. So don't throw away your money by putting it on Covington. I actually really like Domantas Sabonis. I'm seeing him at plus 400. You might have slightly different but odds on your book, but I think that he's going to be good value any way you slice it. A lot of people think, hey, you want the guards here, not necessarily the big man, but only one guard has won in the last 5 years because they match up big man against big man in these initial rounds. So they end up getting further along. I mean, Bam won it last year. Jason Tatum won it the year before. Kristaps Porzingis won it in 2017. Cat won it in 2016. Only Spencer Dinwiddie in 2018 has been the guard in the last 5 years to have won it. So I like Sabonis. He's got all around offensive skill set. That should really put him in good standing against, you know, I bet they match him up against Vucevic or Julius Randle, I think, would be good. But Covington might be matched up against him in the initial rounds. I think what they're going to do is match up Luka and Chris Paul initially, since they're the two guards in it. And so that that'll cancel out one of the favorites right away. So I don't necessarily, I wouldn't advocate for putting any money on those favorites, even though Luka, Chris Paul might end up winning it. I just don't think there's enough value there. John, what are you going with this skills challenge here?
I'm with Terrell. I'm going with Julius Randle plus 800. I like the big man here. And McKee, you were talking about Kat, Kristaps, and Bam winning it in past years. So I'll ride that at plus 800. And, you know, with the possible, you know, with the Randle always being that triple threat. Double threat. Yeah. Give me. He's got the skills to take it. Yeah, give me Randle. Plus 800. What a steal.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Terrell and John.
Okay, so to give, because I'm like, you know, devil's advocate. If Julius Randle misses the first three, he lost. He's got to come out there. He's got to hit the first one. If he misses the first one, he lost. I don't think he'll come back from that.
Why? You think he just gets too far in his head, or you think he gets in your head? You think he'll get in his head if he misses it?
I think it'll be a good because think about if he matches up with Robert Covington, he will thrash Robert Covington all the way through. But if he misses that first three, and then Covington comes back behind him and spots up cash, he's gonna make it. So I think that. Just the competition, especially Covington. I think that's my biggest fear. If he plays Covington and he goes up there, he has to make the first three. I'm positive he'll get there. He'll get through the whole course before him, but Covington's not that bad where he's not going to be like not too far behind. So if he misses that first one, he has to go get his miss, and Covington comes up, he's going to spot up, hit that three and beat him, and then that's going to absolutely piss me off.
Well, I mean, you said Covington's not that bad. I disagree. If I had to bet on who was going to be the slowest in them, I probably would put money on Covington. It's got to be Vucevic or Covington that are going to be the favorites for slowest.
No, yeah, I think I don't think he'll win, but I think that it's not a disparity where he can't make a push late, because once you get past that pass, like. You make a push late, and if somebody's behind you, all you're doing is hoping that they miss that first one, and then you come up behind them and make it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. All right, well, I've got money on Sabonis. Terrell and Jong have it on Julius Randle. If anybody else has opinions, please just join in, ask to speak, and we'll bring you right in. But we're going to be moving right now to the slam dunk contest. Only three contestants. Underwhelming with only three contestants and no big names, but I think it will be exciting. We've got three really athletic guys, and Obi Toppin at plus 150, Anfernee Simons at plus 175, and Cassius Stanley at plus 200. Terrell, let's start with you since it's another Nick. Who are you going with here?
First off, I would like to say I completely understand for, you know, whatever NBA players may just stumble along this and listen and all that. I completely understand you, Anthony Edwards. I completely understand you, Zion, why y'all would not want to do this slam dunk contest. There's no fans, and I'm not going to pull out my bag of tricks, and it's not no ladies around that's going to get the feels of those bag of tricks, and I'm not going to exploit that. So I completely understand. Save your bag of tricks for next year when fans are around, when you can, where everybody's going to see it. I completely understand why. Now, going back to your point, I don't know. I think the recent history of Knicks in the slam dunk contest with Dennis Smith Jr. has turned me off of even looking Obi's way. He could very well come out there, but. I don't know. I feel like Cassius Stanley doesn't do anything else all season. He hasn't done anything else all season. So why not just be in practice working on your dunk routine every single day? So I don't know. I think I actually like Cassius Stanley at plus 200 and just throw a shot on him.
I really like him too. You're right. He really focuses on his dunks. He's got a 44-inch vertical leap that they tracked at the draft combine, and he was the third highest since 2000. One of the only two players with a higher vertical than him was Diallo, and he won the dunk contest in 2019. Another thing I think is interesting is a lot of the winners in the last 10 years have been guys 6'6 or under. I think because they look like they get, you know, just more air. So you look at, you know, Levine, Diallo, Derrick Jones Jr., they're all 6'5. And then you got Donovan Mitchell, who won it. He's at 6'3. And Glenn Robinson and Terrence Ross, they're both 6'6. You have to go back to 2012 when there was the last player who was 6'9. That was Jeremy Evans, who won back in 2012. And the year before that, Blake won it 6'9. And then, but the previous 2 years before that was Nate Robinson, who's only 5'9. And so I do like Stanley, who's at 6'5, because of that. And, you know, Simons is a 6'4. Toppin, 6'9. I think that he might not look like he's getting enough air, although he's like crazy athletic. So I would definitely put my money on Stanley plus 200. Jong, where are you going?
I'm going chalk here. This is Obi Toppin's to lose. This guy is nasty, and I'm not sure what the other people have, you know, on him in terms of, you know, Obi's gonna windmill. Obi's gonna be between the legs. Obi's gonna show up, and Obi might not be here next year. So Obi probably is gonna win it. In my eyes, I'm taking chalk.
Yeah, I get that point. I mean, he's been a little underwhelming. He hasn't gotten to play a lot this year with Tibbs as the coach, because Tibbs doesn't play a lot of rookies. So you think he's been really gearing up for this. He hasn't been as much the talk. You know, he really fell out of the Rookie of the Year conversation quickly. So maybe he's got more motivation because of that. I can see that. What do you think, Terrell?
I really think that. So I get that. I completely understand, but I feel like Obi will have another chance. Obi will get other chances to be here, especially when he starts to play more. Cassius Stanley is never going to get this opportunity again. He knows this. He knows this is his one shot. He will not get it again. They're not going to ask him to come back. He was a 10th option for the dunk contest, and he's like, you know what, I'm gonna go out here and I'm gonna make the best of it. And I'd like to know who their coaches are, because, you know, players typically have a coach that kind of helps them put their routine together. I wonder if they have a coach this year. But I think Cassius Stanley is just, he's like, yo, I'm not getting no play time. I'm not doing anything else in the league. Send me to the G League so I can do something at least. So, matter of fact, I'm going to take over his dunk contest. I'm all in on Cassius Stanley.
Hear you. Daniel Greer just wrote in the chat, anyone seeing where to bet the dunk contest? It's not on FanDuel, DK, or MGM. I'm seeing it on my local book. That's where I got my odds. I don't know. Do you see it anywhere, Terrell?
No, I don't. I don't see it anywhere.
Local book for me too. It's simply my local.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I'm sure those odds will be popping up on all the major books as well soon, just because dunk contest is one of the favorites to bet. Okay, so let's move on to the actual game. Team LeBron, they claimed their three-peat of the All-Star game last year. I'm seeing that they've been winning by a margin of 6.3 points. Last year was the closest call when they beat Giannis, Team Giannis, 157 to 155. Right now, the odds I'm seeing a spread of Team LeBron giving up 3.5. You can bet the money line for Team Durant at plus 142. I'm seeing a total of 307.5. One of the first props that I like for this, most assists by one player. I'm seeing under 10.5. I kind of like the under there. No one has topped 10 assists in the last 2 years under the new formats where the captains pick the team. So I'm going to ride with that trend. Jong, any thoughts here on assists or rebounds or points scored by one player?
Not particularly. I just want to make sure they are implementing the Elam ending again, I believe, right? The Elam ending from last year?
Yeah, you know what? I totally forgot about that. But yeah, I think you're right.
So, and that's the reason why it was really close last year. So I see the loser losing by the margin of the spread, you know? So the plus 3.5, I think, is going to play in effect because of the Elam ending. Mm-hmm. I think that's something to kind of definitely factor in. So, yeah, I don't have anything particularly. I would say Team LeBron last year, they started off really slow, and I think they had to come from behind to win it, right? Or was that 2 years ago? I can't remember.
I'm blanking. I don't end up watching the All-Star game that closely. Just so you double check, I did just Google it. They are using the Elam ending this year as well. So that's a good take to maybe take the points with Durant, and since it'll be close. Terrell, any thoughts on the game itself or any props?
So I hear you're under 10.5 assist thing. I'm just pulling up the teams again because I'm kind of a little foggy on who all is on the team. But I think the over 10.5 can hit, and I think it hits from Team LeBron. Because Team LeBron, like I said earlier, Team LeBron has a lot of passers now, like a lot of people that can pass the ball. But I don't think that they have the shot creators that Team Durant has. They don't have the number of shot creators that Team Durant has. So I think they're going to be doing a lot of team basketball to set each other up and get each other going. And I think that's where if one person just kind of takes the lead on that, like a Chris Paul or hell, even a Ben Simmons, because Ben isn't shooting anything, so he's got to make a contribution somehow to show that he should be in this game. So I think that I'm rolling with the over 10.5 by a player, and I think it comes from Team LeBron too.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point. He does have a lot of distributors on his roster. I mean, just the in his starting five, and LeBron himself, great distributor. And then he got Curry, Luka, and Jokic. The only one that's really not much of a assist leader is Giannis. And then he also has Lillard, Sabonis, Simmons, Chris Paul. So you're right. There's a lot of guys there. That's a good take. I kind of like the over for most rebounds for one player. There's a lot of good bigs. I think we can have some good rebounding numbers in this one. My only thing would be that they might have to divvy up the rebounds since there's so many good rebounders. Any ideas on over 11 rebounds, Terrell?
Rudy Gobert. Because what else is he going to do? What else is he going to do? Really? It's not like anybody's playing defense. So all his defense, and that's why I'm going to rant real quick. I'm sorry, guys.
Go for it.
That is why I feel like Rudy Gobert should not have been in the All-Star game and why he should not be in the All-Star game. Can he be All-Pro? Yes, absolutely. He is an All-Pro type of player. But for the All-Star game, thinking about what people want to watch and all of that, is he have All-Star potential? Yes. But this, nobody plays defense. So literally 3/4 of his game is gone right there. Absolutely gone. We do not, because he's not going to go out. He's not going out there to play hard. And if he goes out there and starts playing defense hard, everybody's looking at him like, yo, like, what are you, like, you're taking this really serious. And in Rudy Gobert's defense, it's the only thing he knows how to freaking do. So I am 100% against Rudy Gobert being in the All-Star game. It's not just because he started COVID and he's the reason that we were out of sports. I'm not still on that, even though I am a firm believer that he gave everybody in the league COVID.
I'm not sure you can blame the entire COVID outbreak on Rudy Gobert.
Nah, I'm going to do it. No, but seriously. Yeah, he has to contribute somehow, and I think he's going to find a way. I would like to see what he did in the All-Star game last year. I don't really know his stats.
I was just pulling it up. He had 11 rebounds in the All-Star game last year. So like he and Giannis both had 11 last year, too. They were the leaders.
Were they on the same team?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, and they're on the same team again this year. All right. But, yeah, I'm with – I think Rudy Gobert will definitely hit that that over himself. So I like that chance. He really doesn't have anything else he's contributing to the game. Nobody's letting Rudy Gobert spot up shoot. I think they'll let Ben Simmons shoot a three just to say, fuck it, let's see if he makes it. But
that would be a fun bet to try to find.
Oh, I would take the over. I would take the over. Over 0.5, I would take it. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to find it somewhere. But yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
All right, cool. John, anything else on the props before we get to the MVP odds?
No, I'm can't wait for the MVP discussion. Let's get at it.
Let's get at it. Okay, so I am my local book doesn't have the MVP odds up yet, so what I did find, I'm seeing LeBron at +475. I am seeing Steph at +750. Zion 12-1. Beal 16-1. Chris Paul 40-1. I know that just already came up. Bobby was talking about that in the chat. Chris Paul 40-1. He has won it once in the past. I'm seeing Julius Randle, we already mentioned, at 50-1. Giannis 9-1. Harden also at 9-1. I guess Curry, I have it listed twice. I guess one book has it at +750 and one book has it at +800. Not seeing a lot. I couldn't find one for odds for Kawhi yet. You would think he would be up since he won it last year. So the one thing I do think is interesting to note here, it's almost in the last 10, 20 years, it has been pretty much exclusively the starters who have won. I can only find one non-starter to win it in the last 10 years at least, and that was Westbrook. It was the first year that he won it in 2015. He won it the next year as well, but he was a starter in 2016. So I think you got to go with the starters here. I think Beal is interesting at 16-1 since he's been leading the league in scoring. You got to think LeBron's going to try to win it. Terrell, what are you thinking?
So I'm actually going a different way than you.
Okay.
And it's because this is residual effects from the Super Bowl. So it probably isn't a good way to bet, but you know what? Whatever. Because in the Super Bowl, I had an idea for an angle that I'm going to take all those rejects on the Bucks to score a touchdown. So, Rob Gronkowski, Leonard Fournette, Antonio Brown, and I didn't do it. And that parlay would have hit for something nice. So now I'm going to play the angle that I was thinking. And the angle that I was thinking is that first, Damian Lillard, who should have been a starter, he beat Luka out in the players vote and the coaches vote. Or was it the media's vote? It's like the player vote and the media vote or something like that. He beat him out in two of the three categories. The only one that Luka beat Dame Lillard in was the fan vote, and the NBA has decided that the fan vote is the tiebreaker. So if you win the other two, but you win the fan vote, the person with the fan vote is being a starter. So Dame Lillard should have been a starter. Everybody else feels like Dame Lillard should have been a starter, except, you know, the fans. So I think
that's because Luka has such a strong European following, probably.
Yeah, and that's really what it is. Like, you know, Dame has to compete with a whole bunch of people in this area. Like, Dame Lillard has California. So now you're taking California versus Europe.
Yeah.
Like, come on. So I understand and I get that. So, but I think Dame is thinking about that. Bron has said that Dame is the most disrespected player. And he feels like...
I thought he said that Devin Booker is the most disrespected player.
Oh, well, he said Dame. I think he went back and followed up with Dame Lillard after that, I think. He mentioned Dame Lillard in that spill. And, but that goes into my second pick for MVP. I have three picks for MVP that I'll bet on. So Dame Lillard for one, I feel like he's going to go out there and like, all right, I'm going to show you I should have been a starter. And just
are you seeing odds for Dame?
No, I don't see odds for anyone. I'm just waiting for him to come up.
Yeah.
But here, after hearing what you said, it's going to be some pretty sweet odds, I think. But Dame Lillard, for one, they don't have too many people that can go out there and just a certified bucket on Team Bron on their own and their own shot creator. So I think Dame has the opportunity to take that. Devin Booker is the next one for the same reason. Unappreciated, probably should have been a starter. Didn't even make the team. Had to come in for relief, didn't he? Wasn't he a?
Yeah, he was an alternate.
Yeah. And so
he's the first alternate that came in after AD, yeah.
Yeah, so Devin Booker on I'm on Devin Booker just for that same angle. And then I'm playing the schoolyard angle. Donovan Mitchell is the best player on the best team of the league. He is the best player on the best team of the league, and he got picked last on Team KD. No way Donovan Mitchell doesn't come out there and is like, I am balling. No, I'm not with it. So I'm playing him. I think Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, Dame Lillard, those are my three guys. I'm not on any starters.
All right. I gotcha. John, what are you thinking?
Let me add to that Donovan Mitchell. I'm on Donovan Mitchell for the fact that schoolyard disrespect, you know, LeBron saying, you know, playing video games and you never picked the Utah Jazz. That's one.
It was true.
John, you cut out there.
Oh, and number two, Mitchell has been just fiery lately, right? He just got ejected a couple of games ago. Am I right on that? And
yeah, he did.
And third, Quinn Snyder is the coach for Team LeBron. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
And if Donovan Mitchell makes the plea, hey coach, put me in. I'm tired of all these divas. Put me in.
Donovan Mitchell's on now, Team KD though.
Is he?
Yeah, he's on Team KD. Is Quinn Snyder the coach of Team KD or Team Bron?
Team Bron.
Team Bron.
Oh no, then he's playing against Quinn Snyder because Donovan Mitchell's on Team KD.
You're right. I'm looking. By that argument, Rudy Gobert will get a lot of playing time if Quinn Snyder is the coach. Yeah. So Mitchell, he's on Doc Rivers' team.
Okay. So no. So it's Rudy Gobert. Okay. Then that kind of takes away then my argument, my strongest argument. I thought Quinn Snyder was gonna put him in, but okay. Yeah, Mitchell, I don't have any odds from my local bookie either, but we'll see.
All right, cool. I agree with the Donovan Mitchell take that he's going to be feel disrespected and maybe he'll get a chance. I thought that was really funny what LeBron said about never playing Utah players when you're young playing games. I thought I was the only one that hated Utah so much. I never would pick Karl Malone or whatever the white guy's name
Stockton,
was,
I forget. Stockton. NBA Jam.
I totally blocked him out.
Boom.
So I thought that was really funny. I think that I think the other players seem to hate Utah, probably because Utah's fans are so nasty to them when they go there. So who knows? But that was interesting that those guys got picked last. But I like the Donovan Mitchell, so we'll have to see what the odds are when they come out. I think I missed mentioning that Luka is at +750. Any thoughts on Luka, maybe, since he's been overlooked a bit?
Not
interested.
Well, then, maybe he does need to win All-Star MVP, because that's going to be the only MVP that he gets this year.
Yeah, that's true. Buff Tuff mentioned in the discussion that Steph rarely plays well in the All-Star game. I don't know. Maybe this will be the first time Steph will have a good game. He has been playing pretty hot lately, although he sat out the other night because he was on rest. All right. Well, that's all I have. If anybody else wants to start a room and talk All-Star game picks, that'd be great. Anybody can start a room here on Locker Room. Mention it in the chat. I got to get going, but please subscribe to NBA Gambling Podcast. Please follow me on Twitter at the Ryan McKee. I will be back next week on Friday, same time, same place. And appreciate all you guys for joining in, and good luck on your All-Star picks this weekend.
Basketball, give me the ball, because I'm gonna dunk it! Ba ba ba.